The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. Banking on great ideas on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Jaden Lowe. Time now for the bigger picture. Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader, on the line to help us out this morning. Stephen, it's been a while. How have you been?
I'm very good, thanks. Thanks for having me on at the with my new company, Axie Trader. Much appreciated.
All right, and we will be needing your expertise because earlier this week, the UK Parliament blocked a no-deal Brexit. This has prompted Prime Minister Boris Johnson to call for a snap election in mid-April. That was also blocked in Parliament. Now, with less than 2 months until October 31st Brexit deadline, how will this latest update affect the current situation? I suppose if there's no deal on October 31st, we're definitely going to get some kind of extension, right?
Well, there's definitely no shortage of opinions when it comes to Brexit, and there's a lot of experts out here, but I don't think anyone has an absolute idea on what's going to happen. I guess we can only make some conjectures here, and what it really does appear to be happening now is that there's a huge move here to put forth legislation for an anti-no-deal Brexit. Mm-hmm. And see the reaction in the markets right now where the pound is ripped above 123. You think that's the likely outcome? I think you hit the nail on the head suggesting that there's only 2 months left here. This is the problem. This is a new prime minister. Not a lot of time for cooler heads to prevail. Plus, he's so hard-headed about getting this thing put across the table here that there's no way he's going to get a majority of consensus in the House of Lords. This is why we're seeing this House of Lords making the agreement with the Labour Party right now. And it's almost positively for sure that we're going to have an extension. And this is going to put some of the built-up tensions to ease. And this is why we're seeing this reflected in the pound currently.
So, Stephen, and just to clarify, does this mean that over the next couple of months we will see some so-called volatility with the pound is concerned?
Oh, it's going to be just a constant yo-yo. It's okay. Just a headline-driven market, and it's going to continue that way. You know, it's only a few weeks ago, markets were building in the doom and gloom, the Fed's Brexit. We're going to 110. Now we're back on looking at 130 again. So where are we going to go? Where are we going to lead? It's very, very unpredictable. For traders, it's great to trade on the short-term momentum. For companies and CEOs, it must be a nightmare trying to figure out how to spend your money wisely. It's a trader's market, not an investor's market. And that's why it's got this appeal and non-appeal on two elements of the market centered.
So let's talk about some U.S. data. So the ADP employment numbers and the ISM service data came in better than expected overnight. So we do have the non-farm payroll that will be coming out tonight. So what can we expect from this and how might this impact the upcoming Fed meeting in September 17 and 18?
Absolutely incredible. It makes me wonder where all this doom and gloom fear-mongering has come from. Certainly the data these days is surprisingly strong. It's just not the U.S., but we've seen a very resilient Chinese economy, despite all this doom and gloom about trade war. The numbers there have been very supportive, and even surprises out of Europe on the PMI fronts this week. So moving into the U.S. data, we had some pretty, you know, we're not sure what we had here, right? We were dealing earlier in the week with an ISM manufacturing data that looked pretty glummy. But now we've seen the robust ADP employment report, services index is coming up pretty strong. So here's what I'm sort of thinking here, and I'm sort of running with this new narrative on central banks after waxing pretty dovish for the last couple of months. I think a surprising run of strong global economic data, just like we saw from the Bank of Canada, this threw cold water on the prospects of aggressive rate cuts this week. Mm-hmm. This whole improved macro scrim, Europe, China, and the U.S., provides a perfect opportunity for central banks to gingerly walk back from the cliff edge of rate cut mania. What I mean by that, we reached that apex when the RBNZ cut 50 basis points. Everybody was running down saying, oh, we're going to move into QE. Everybody's going to drop 50 basis points. Hey, the data doesn't support it. Okay, the data supports, sure, prudent monetary policy to defend against the downturn for, economic downturn for trade wars is ultimately going to happen to the economy. But that doesn't mean we need a 50 basis point cut from the Feds. I think the Feds are going to have a modicum of comfort here to put policy back into moderation over the short term. And I think this is what we're seeing in the bond markets that sold off quite dramatically overnight, is that this, you know, deluge of central bank easing might not be so forthcoming in the markets anytime soon.
Quite interesting to see how that pans out. Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific market strategist and Axie Trader on the line with us on The Bigger Picture. Stephen, we live in a world where it's 1 week up and the next week down. This week, we've had quite a bit of positive news coming from around the world. I mean, we have Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam withdrawing the extradition bill. News of another round of potential trade talks between China and the US. Markets have reacted positively. Should we be celebrating? Are we seeing a rally or should we still be cautious?
Now, it's not one day up, one day down. It's 1 hour up, one hour down. But so let's put this into perspective here. Looking at Hong Kong, I think this is fantastic that we have some sort of de-escalation in the geopolitical risk. Somehow, I don't feel like we're quite out of the woods yet. I don't think Hong Kongers, I can use that phrase, are so willing to see the pro-democracy movement anytime soon. I think this is it. I think waves of populism exist. I think the political divide between Hong Kong and the mainland runs much deeper than just that extradition treaty.
Yeah.
Sure, we've had the geopolitical relief rally. These types of moves, usually quite good, but they usually only have short legs. What I mean, they're only a short-term sentiment shifter. We turn back to the economic realities, which is the trade war malaise. Mind you, it hasn't been as bad as we thought, but it's still there. And we have this going to have this constant overhang wave of populism that's going to hang like a nasty cloud, just waiting to rain back down. Here's my thought. We're going to have to keep a tab on how the weekend developments. I think we're going to see that reflected in today's Asian price action. Especially in the Hong Kong markets, it's going to be a high degree of caution exercise despite the robust risk-on sentiment that we're seeing across the globe. So I think the answer here, investors are going to remain cautious. But a couple of good investment points that have been coming up in the region that investors can use to hedge. Everybody talks about gold, but that suffered a bit last night. JP Morgan just introduced the China bonds to the index. This is going to open up some really good opportunities for bond duration. So for hedges against, you know, cataclysmic moves in Hong Kong, perhaps if you had to buy some sort of regional risk, China bond markets are starting to look fairly attractive once again.
Right. So I think we are expecting more volatility coming up from the markets as well. So just now you mentioned about gold and the China bond markets. Are there any other assets you're keeping a lookout for?
You know, we're just obviously keeping tabs on the key indicators for global growth sentiment. We think this is where the markets, especially equity markets, are going to need their next impulse. I'm sure they've been riding the wave of optimism this week from the trade talks. They've been riding the wave of central bank easing, i.e. through the liquidity trade. Now what we need is global growth to come back again. Without global growth, bottom line, earnings per share aren't going up. So this is a key factor, keeping an eye on sensitivity metrics, commodity prices, keeping an eye on risk performance basis like the Japanese yen. All these are getting taken into consideration. I've never watched so many cross-asset correlations in my life, and I've been in this market for a long time. And this just tells you how testy the market conditions are right now, where you've got to keep your eye on basically 10 different asset classes to gauge overall sentiment these days.
We've been speaking with Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader on The Bigger Picture. Stephen, thanks so much for taking the time and you have a good weekend ahead, yeah?
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. Talk to you guys soon.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.